Welcome to Activate Yourself with Gita Sidhu Rob, where we feature otherwise normal people who, because of events in their life, have turned left and done unusual, inspiring, incredible things, like build a business, become a happiness expert, marry a prince, create an empire, or like your host, set up a health and wellness business, Nosh Detox. Here's your host, Gita Sidhu Rob.
Welcome to Activate Yourself. My name is Gita Sidhu Rob. And as always, what I want to do is bring you to a place in the conversations that I'm going to have with my guest today, where you come away feeling transformed. Let's do that. Let's go with transformed. Today's the day to be transformed. Let's talk about how we can inspire you and empower you and give you, when you're listening, a sense when you come away that you have the choice to completely change your own life, that it's not in somebody else's hands. And I am such a big believer of this because I think that part of the journey of being an entrepreneur, part of the journey of being a woman, I think, part of the journey of being a powerful woman is that you understand that the changes that you are going to make are 100% in your own hands. And I want that for you. This is my gift for you today. And I have the most fascinating and interesting guest. Welcome to Sammy Wunder, with the best name as well. Welcome, Sammy. Thank you for joining me today.
Thank you for having me. So excited to be here.
So what's really interesting, as I was saying before we came on, is that just last week, a friend of mine was saying she had just become a client of yours. And she's like, I met this really amazing dating coach and I love what she's doing. And oh my God, she's Indian. And it's always lovely to meet other Indian women doing amazing things, because it's one of those things that as you get older, you appreciate it more, because it's very isolating because there aren't that many Indian women. Well, I say that. And then I find out Pepsi is being run by an Indian woman. And, you know, but those people are not quite in the reach of the realm that we're talking about. So she became your client. And a few days after that, somebody, you know, reached out to have to say, would we have you on our podcast? And I'm so happy to have you here. I'd like to understand, you basically run a dating and relationship business, right?
Absolutely. I help high achievers, ambitious women, single women find healthy romantic partners and women in relationships to elevate and heal the connection they have in their marriages and partnerships and basically take it to the next level of bliss and joy.
I love that. Why do you do that?
I think because personally, I have always been the woman who was objectively good looking, objectively hardworking, intelligent, smart, with a master's degree. And yet I was struggling so much with men and in my own love life. And I met a man who I thought was the one for me. Finally, a man who was not intimidated by my brains, by my success. And when this man walked away as well, 2 months into a really great connection, I was like, okay, Sammy, you can either give up on love and you can say, I'm just going to be the high achieving woman, because that's the part I can really control with my hard work and my brains and my intelligence. Or I'm going to be the woman who's going to have it all. The way I've worked to figure things out in my career, I'm going to do that same work to figure things out in my love life. And so basically, that was the pain point, the transformation point, the big gift of the universe in my life. Because had I not been so down on my knees and so heartbroken, I don't think I would have ever turned to really look at myself and get curious about how I was showing up in my love life, because it was so easy to just blame the guys and it was so easy to just stay a victim, even though I wasn't a victim in my career, even though I had so much evidence in my career that if you work hard, if you're intentional, if you, you know, come with integrity, the sky is the limit. There is, you can have everything you desire. And yet in my love life, I felt the opposite. I felt helpless. I felt out of control. I felt like, you know, everything's wrong with the guys. It's just about holding out and waiting for the right guy to come. Yeah. And then there was this life-changing experience of heartbreak where I felt like that unicorn had arrived in my life, that unicorn of a man. And when even he walked out, I was like, okay, Sammy, you need to look at yourself now. You need to see that you're the common denominator here. And I did that. And I've always been an A student. So I like dove into understanding love and relationships. I figured things out for myself. My life transformed before my own eyes so quickly and so powerfully and so permanently, so sustainably. My single girlfriends, you know, hardworking, gorgeous women, lovely women with great hearts, they couldn't understand what was going on, because 1 year down the line, after me going on this journey of understanding love and romantic relationships, they were still talking badly about men at bars. They were still criticizing men. They were still asking each other, should I text him? He hasn't texted for the last 3 days. And I was like, you know, guys, my guy proposed, you know, we're moving forward. We're about to get married. And they were like, Sammy, tell us, like, what is it that you're doing? How are things working for you? And then I realized, you know, so far I had been ashamed of my struggle, thinking this is just my struggle. But there are millions of incredible women out there who are good-hearted human beings. They're ambitious. And they are having such a hard time in dating and such a hard time figuring out what is it that actually attracts a great guy? What is it that keeps a great guy? And what is it that enables you to have the love you want while also being a badass at your career? And I figured that out for myself. I've been teaching this now to ambitious, high-achieving women over 86 countries of the world today. We're a multi-7-figure per year company, and we have a terrific track record of results. So I've helped over 900 plus women attract healthy, empowered relationships. And I'm so proud of what I'm doing, because I truly believe I'm living my purpose and my gift on this planet.
Perfect. That's amazing. When you, if we go back a little bit in that, because there's so much to unpack, when you first looked at this and started doing the work, what was it that struck you the most? That you felt that you're like, oh my God, I never knew I was doing this and I wish I hadn't done this.
I think the big game-changing concept for me was the recognition that I was operating a lot in my masculine energy, yeah, in my love life. And I think this is not true just for me alone. This is true for all high-achieving women. You know, we are women of a generation where we've been told, never trust a man. Always use your brains. Your brains is the way to get ahead. And while there was nothing wrong with that message, it was actually a really empowering message. It's also the message that, you know, has made a CEO out of me today, you know, running such a successful company. But what nobody told us, that you are not going to be loved for that. When you show up on a date and all you can talk about is, you know, how successful you are and how much money you make, you're not fostering connection. And
did you not, when you were growing up, because the thing is, but I always say this about Indian households, we have a very different approach to how we're brought up. So when you were brought, how did you marry that with the, because growing up as an Indian woman, being female is being submissive to a very large extent. How did you marry that with the, with finding a feminine that isn't submissive, that's empowered?
So I would say it's twofold. I would say I saw a lot of patriarchy around me growing up in India, but I was part of a household where both my mom and my dad said, dream big, go for what you want. We're here to support you, even if that means our neighbors or relatives will frown at us. So I do have to give credit to the parenting I had. Both my parents are PhDs. They're highly educated. My grandma was a double PhD and a D-Lit at a time in India when, you know, I think she was the first in her state to be a D-Lit and so highly educated. So yep. I would say that I was never part of a patriarchy where women are submissive. However, I did not have a great role model at home in terms of the marriage and the love I saw, because my mom was still very much, you know, caretaking of my dad, overgiving to my dad, you know, what we see in a lot of Indian households. I mean, I serve a global clientele today, but I can say that my Indian upbringing and cultural understanding does make Indian, empowered Indian women great clients of mine, because I also understand, you know, what context and culture they come from. And I think when I came into my master's to Germany, I got a full scholarship. What I realized was there was another way of being in this world that allowed me to be strong, but still be a woman and not become a man.
Yes.
And I think that's the difference between submissive, doormatty feminine energy, you know, where you're sweet and you are catering to a man's ego. And then there is the empowered feminine energy, you know, which is the energy of, you know, I have brains, I can look after myself, I can speak up for myself, I can draw boundaries, but I can still be a woman in the way I do that. Like, I don't have to be aggressive. I don't have to start wearing pants, and I don't have to come from that testosterone charged space in order to make a point. You know, I can still be soft. I can still be feminine, and I can be extremely empowered. And that is the version of feminine energy I'm actually teaching women today, because I think any woman who's coming from that kind of context where you see men being dominant, where you see so much conversation around traditional gender roles, women are in the kitchen and bring up the kids, men go to work. I think for women from such societies, women like me, we go abroad and then we completely go to the opposite end of the spectrum. You know, yes, we become so masculinized. We become so rebellious. We're like, you know, I'm never going to let a man tell me what to do. I am never going to let a man be the provider. I will always provide for myself. And I think what my journey was this journey of coming back into the middle, coming back into balance. You know, I could be strong and I could make millions, and yet I could receive from my husband. I did not feel any shame in him buying me a bag I really like. And so I think most women who are brought up in this feminist era, we are on the other side of the spectrum, where we have forgotten how to access our vulnerability, how to access just being around men versus, you know, in this performance, masculine energy, pick me, choose me. I am so great. Look at my achievements. I can do everything. I am so independent. And so for me, it was the journey of recognizing, wow, I am so much in my masculine. And of course, when you are in your masculine, you're going to attract more laid back, feminine, embodied men. And when you're in your masculine, you're going to push away the provider type of man. You're going to push away that empowered masculine man.
Well, there's no need for two men in that relationship, right?
So no, you're just going to have a lot of headbutting. So even though I am a CEO, I'm such a high earner, you know, in my relationship, I am still in my feminine. In other words, I am not like in the masculine trying to be the giver, the doer, the hero in my relationship. You know, I'm the queen in my relationship, in my marriage. My husband, you know, pours into me, does for me, is my protector. And it's possible to have both these worlds together when you know how to balance your masculine and feminine. So I still have a lot of masculine. I use it in the right spaces, my business, my company, managing my team, being there for my clients. And in my marriage, you know, which is a 10-year plus marriage, you know, I started actually out as a housewife. You know, my husband was the main provider. That's the kind of man I attracted into my life because I was embodied in my feminine. And then life just so happened that, you know, my business is an online business. You know, women come find me overnight on my website, download a self-study program. You know, like I make money in my sleep, basically. And, you know, today I am far out earning him. You know, this is just how life is developed. And I know it doesn't matter, because that's not what our relationship is based on. Our relationship is based on our heart connection, our love. He saw something in me and he fell in love with me when I wasn't a multimillionaire coach, if you know what I mean, right? So that was the transformation I had to go through. I had to really learn to see, like, I was so in my masculine that it would not be attractive to the kind of masculine predominant man that I was looking for. And if I insist on being in my masculine in a relationship, in a romantic equation, then I'm going to attract more laid back men. And sooner or later, I'm going to start feeling resentful for all the work I'm doing in the relationship. And he just doesn't seem to step up and do the same work. So if I don't plan a date won't happen. If I don't call, I won't get a call. So there comes a time when you start to feel really resentful about being in that role.
We're just going to go for a quick break and then we'll be back.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
So we're back. What is it that you teach women? What is it that you teach them? What did you learn? And what is it that you teach them?
So I have a unique, personally developed 6-pillar process called the Love Success Framework. And it basically covers the 6 areas that I believe all smart, successful, ambitious women should educate themselves on and familiarize themselves with if they're looking to attract an empowered, masculine, devoted, loyal partner. The first step is mindset, your stories, the things you tell yourself. You know, when I was single, I was like, men are intimidated by my brains and success. Okay, period. If men are intimidated by my brains and success, then basically, you know, I'm never going to find a man who's able to embrace my successful and brainy side, plus my sweet and soft and feminine side. So basically, end of story, you can't have it all. And so I refused to buy into that world. And so I had to really work on my belief systems. I had to tell myself it's possible to have it all. I had to tell myself, if so many other women can have amazing love stories, why not me? Like, why? You know? So I think the first step we work with our clients is mindset. You know, what are the things you're telling yourself? Nobody wants to commit. Men just want one thing. There are no good men out there. There are so many limiting beliefs that are operating in the field of our love lives. And this is the conversation in almost all kiddie parties where women are telling each other, yes, there are no good men, all good men are taken. And so we start by helping women see these negative beliefs and we release them and we show the evidence of what's possible. We make them see Beyonce, we make them see J-Lo. We say, if they can have love and success, why can't you? And you know, basically starting from that journey of what we spoke about right at the start of the podcast, which is you can change your life in any area. You can change your health, you can change your career, and you can change your love life should you decide to have that winner's mindset. Now, step number 2 is really self-love and self-worth, worthy from within. I help ambitious women see that they are beyond their achievements and beyond their money. They have a heart, they have a soul, they have something to offer that any man would kill for. And that is the part that is truly worthy and deserving of great treatment. And to lead more in your relationships from that place versus this place of, you know, pick me, look at my money, look at my achievements, look how great I am.
Why do you think it's because I coach a lot of women in understanding how to feel powerful. And one of the things that I am always gobsmacked about is that women don't understand that they, I had a client yesterday who came in, who's a very high earner. Her husband's a much, much higher earner, but she's a high earner. And she said that her parents are coming out and her husband said, you know, don't put it on my credit card. So you pay for your parents to come out. Yeah. And she was very unhappy about that. She can comfortably afford to pay for them to come out. She's multi 7-figure earner herself, but she wanted her husband to make that offer.
Yeah.
So because she wants to be provided for, but he, and you know, she cooks and she does all that stuff, but she doesn't understand the value she has inherent, I think, in herself. What would you say to someone like that? How do you have that conversation with men?
I think you'd not find that challenge in relationships that have been born through my work, simply because from day one, I will teach my client to honor her feelings in a relationship. This is not a logical conversation that this friend of yours or client of yours is supposed to have with her husband. Yeah. This is a heart-based conversation. This is about her feelings. You know, logically, I see his point. And logically, you know, this shouldn't be a big deal. And rationally, this shouldn't be a big deal because she also has money. But this is about her heart. This is about what makes her feel good. And you want to be in partnerships where that heart and what makes you feel good is valued. Usually this dynamic is set right from the start, right from the first day you date. And that's why I always say, in my clients' relationships, you don't just attract a guy. Like many women attract a guy. You know, it's the quality of treatment you attract. It's like how devoted and caring someone is towards how your heart feels. And so I think if I were to speak to your client, I would say her desire is completely justified. She doesn't have to, you know, rationalize and explain to him why she feels this way. And I would just say to him in a light, you know, moment when the timing is right that, you know, I know that I have the money to pay for this, but it would have felt so special had you offered to pay as a sign of your love and respect for my family. That would have felt really good. Mm. And that's the end of the conversation, basically. And what we teach our clients inside Elevate, which is my 6 months long group coaching program, that is really the signature way to work with me if you're looking to attract your empowered person, your empowered partner, or even heal your relationship and take it to the next level. It's what your friend signed up for. We are going to ask your client, if she was working with us, to actually start creating more micro moments like this in the relationship. So what you're looking at is some way of retraining your partner that even though you are very successful, even though you've got all this amazing life going for yourself, you know, his gesture, his love, his care for your feelings still is a very important thing and still is a very nurturing point for your client in the relationship. And so we need to retrain his ability to cater to her feelings and not just.
But I think she also has to understand that her feelings have value, that it's not what she brings to. I find with that with women where, and I'm sure that you can speak to this a lot, where they're not valuing even just the joy of being able to make a beautiful home has such immense value, you know, and it's something that whether you have nannies or housekeepers or you have whatever, you will never change your house with love in a way a woman can do it than somebody that you pay. And we don't seem to have an understanding that that has value, even if we're not going out to work.
And I think it's not even about finding your value in creating a home. I think it's finding your value in being you.
That's now, what I'm saying, though. Because you are the person that creates the home. You are the person that does everything. And the amount of money you earn should not be relevant because it's about you as a person.
Yeah, and it's also not about creating the home is what I'm trying to say. It's like, It's not about outsourcing your worth to anything outside of yourself. Like a woman who does nothing is as valuable as the woman who conquers a battle, you know? So because it's not about what they're doing on the outside, it's always about who they are on the inside. And that value and that worth is just inherently there. And I think for a lot of high achieving women, we find our value in working hard, achieving something. And so if you are finding that you are a housewife, suddenly you're like, what's my worth? And no, you were always worthy. You were born worthy. You will die worthy. You are worthy. And it has nothing to do with what job you have or what money you make or what house you create or whether you have kids or you don't have kids. You know, so many times women are judging themselves if they make the choice to not have a child. And then they're like, okay, now what's my worth? I never became a mother. And it's like, hey, girl, your worth just simply does not lie outside of you. It always lies inside of you. And so by that logic, if you're inherently worthy, your feelings are important. And that's what a healthy partnership is about. It's about feeling heard, feeling good, feeling seen. And so I would say, you know, it's about retraining the partner in the relationship to start paying attention to your feelings. But even the step before that would be you starting to pay attention to your feelings.
Giving it a value. We're going to go for a quick break and we'll be back in a second.
The station that makes you feel good. UK Health Radio. The station that makes you feel good.
So we're back. I'm really still interested in the transformation that you undertook in a year. What was it that you did different, that you noticed you did different the next time you went on a date where you were transformed?
So should we just give parallels from the Love Success Framework, which with the six steps? Because, of course, I changed my mindset. I think I just told myself this is possible for me. That is like step number one.
Yep.
Step number two was I decided that I was worthy of good treatment. That's it. Like no more drama, no more getting stood up on dates, no more, you know, letting a man walk into your home after a date just because he feels like he has the right to because he paid dinner for you. And so it was like, okay, Sammy, you're worthy of good treatment. Just because you are, it has nothing to do with your job or your money or whatever. Step number three, and this was a really powerful step, it's also part of the Love Success Framework, was healing my intimacy fears and really letting love in. You know, I had a very screwed idea of love. My idea of love was, if they're not into you, run after them. If they're into you, they're boring.
Yeah.
And it was so foolish. It was so backwards. And I couldn't see it. I couldn't see it till I had worked on step number two, which was I love myself, I'm valuable. And if I love myself and I'm valuable, you know, why do I run after people who don't love me? Why do I run after people who don't see anything in me special? Why do I run after people who don't think that I am worth their time and energy and attention? And so step number three was really releasing all the intimacy fears and letting the love of a good, healthy man in, because love is all around you. And if you're not able to see that, if you constantly live in a state of scarcity where you feel like there's no good man out there, it's so hard to find a good man, I can bet my bottom dollar those good men are there. You're just not seeing them. Yeah. And that's because your love of idea could be like mine, which is a little screwed up, which is if they are not into me and they're hot and they're smart, then I must go prove to them that I am worthy of them. And so I'm going to try and make things work with them. And when good guys, available guys, loving guys, kind guys, you know, walk into my life, I don't even see them. I quickly put them in the friend bucket. So that because there's nothing to prove there, and they're already into you and they already like you and they're already good to you. And so step number three is really fixing the man choosing radar. It's such a huge, huge thing, and it comes with two parts. The first is to stop running after the wrong men. And the second part is cultivating the muscle to receive love from good men. Because when it comes, we all say we want love, but when the good guy comes and he's interested and he's serious, all we want to do is run in the opposite direction because it's so scary, especially for my clients in Elevate who've been single for years. It's so easy to just keep narrating that story. I want love. It's so hard to find. And then when a great guy comes your way, you like nitpick him, find fault with him. Within one date, you're like, oh, I didn't like his teeth, so he's not going to qualify. Oh, he doesn't have the membership to that club, so he's not going to qualify. And you find all these reasons to push love away because it's so scary. And I get it, but one has to intentionally work on this. And I had to do the work on myself to really let Chris's love in. Mm-hmm. Step number four is rotational dating. This is really powerful. Date more than one guy at the same time. So many women are putting all their eggs in one basket. This was actually what got me featured on Time Magazine and, you know, Huffington Post and Daily Mail. And they got so interested in my story because I dated lots of guys. And I was like, you know, I'm not going to assume exclusivity. I know you're seeing other women as well. And I'm going to play the field and take my time till I know you're really into me in the way I deserve it. Because in the past, you know, so many guys would just ask for exclusivity because they want to sleep with you. And it's like the fastest ticket to say, okay, now you're mine. You're off the market. Let's sleep together. And then 6 months down the line, you realize, oh my God, we're not compatible. Oh my God, our values don't match. Oh my God, he doesn't even want marriage or kids. He's just been like flinging around and doing this so casually. And I was ready for my great love. Like I was ready for my husband. This is 11 years ago now. And I was like, I'm going to play the field and I'm not going to just say yes to being exclusive to any random guy. I'm going to take my time. I'm going to take it slow. So I remember when Chris and I met, you know, I was no longer in my desperate masculine energy trying to please, trying to like perform. I was just really relaxed in my feminine. You know, I let him do the work, let him effort for me, call me, text me, plan the date, pay for the date. And 2 months down the line, I giggled when he said to me, where is this going? Would you like to be my girlfriend? I really like you. And I was like, ha, 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 in my head. And I said to him, you know, I've done boyfriend, girlfriend in college. I'm not looking for that anymore. I'm looking for a husband. And I don't want to put pressure on you. I don't expect you to know in 2 months if I'm the one for you forever. But I think it's fair that I keep my options open till, you know, I'm the one for you forever, not just for now.
But did you know that you wanted him as well? Because that's very him focused.
I wouldn't give this speech to a man I wasn't sure about myself. So there are different versions of the speech I teach my clients. You know, there are men you can say to whom you can say, I still need my time figuring things out. I'd like to take it slow. I'd still like to get to know you. So there are various versions of this. But long story short, if Chris would have asked me to be his wife, I knew I would say yes. And I think most men who meet you, they also know very, very quickly.
Men know very quickly.
So like for Chris, he says by date 3, he knew there was something really special.
Yeah.
And so I remember him not liking that, walking back from the date, going, you know, really silently. It was very scary for me. 3 days, you know, nothing from him. And I was like, he's gone. You know, he couldn't take that. He couldn't take the rotational
dating. Which just shows you it was the right thing to say at the time. Because if you go after that, then...
Yeah. And, you know, it's no judgment. I don't think everybody is willing to play that field. I don't think everybody knows they want marriage, you know, like no judgment. You know, I think in dating, you have to just be very clear on what you want, what you stand for, and then be ready to lose a lot of people because it's the filter that helps you attract the right one, basically. Right. But 3 days later, he got back with a message. He said, let's talk. Let's see how you have a vision of this relationship progressing. I really like you. I'm really serious about you. And 9 months in, he proposed. So the best decision of my life and a very different decision of my life, because before this, I was only going for men who were not into me in some way, shape or form. You know, men who left me in pain, men who left me feeling insecure, walking on eggshells.
It's terrible to think that we're built to think that that's appalling.
Yeah. And yet, like, I work with celebrities, people I cannot name, the who's and who in the industry. And I can tell you, no matter what success they have, what fame they have very similar human experiences and challenges like we do, you know? And so love is really that point where so many amazing, incredible human beings, men and women, we are brought down in vulnerability and humility to our knees. And we have to admit to ourselves, you know, we need help. This is not our area of expertise. We don't have the right role models. Nobody's taught this stuff to us. And we need to actively learn it. And we need to actively educate ourselves on it. And that's what I did. And I am really on this mission globally to help women understand that they can upskill themselves in their love lives. You know, just like you upskill yourself in makeup.
Why wouldn't you, right? It's everything that nobody also became a CEO. I remember this when I first started, I set up my business because I was a lawyer. And when I set up my business 15, 16 years ago, I remember somebody saying, you have to learn to be a CEO. It's not something that comes naturally. And it is honestly something we have had to learn. And so I'm a big believer that you can learn anything that you put your mind to. It's just that this conversation about femininity. So I coach so many women in understanding that being feminine is not weak, because that's what they see it as. They give up the source of their power because they don't see that they're sitting in their power is sitting in their feminine. And the strength of their feminine is what gives them power, not their external masculine. So I feel like we have a lot of the same language around that. Yours is focused towards dating and mine isn't. But it's been really lovely having you on as a guest. Thank you so much. How is it that people can find you?
So I'm all over the internet. If you look for my name, you just have to spell it right. Sami Wunder, SamiWunder. SamiWunder.com. You can book a free consultation with my team straight away. And we'd be happy to share how you can work with us and how we can support you in attracting your healthy, empowered man in record time, or healing and elevating your marriage or relationship and taking it to the next level. You can also follow me on Instagram @ Sami Wunder Coach. And I do have a very special gift for your audience. It's free, and it's a 50-minute video training on how to make 3 powerful shifts into your feminine energy in dating or within your relationship. and do it as quickly as overnight, because I know masculine is so easy for the women of today. You know, we're all so good at going for it, making things happen. But when we hear feminine energy, it is still that a little bit of a vague, weird concept where you get the image that you have to dance around the trees or light incense sticks in order to be in your feminine. And this is my specialty, that I make it so easy and practical to understand. I literally tell you what to do and what not to do in dating or in your relationship. So that's the training, and the link should be in the show notes. And hopefully it's going to help lots of you get ideas on how you can make quick, tangible, practical shifts into your feminine versus, you know, having to dance around a tree, basically.
Which, you know, you should totally do if you feel
totally
like.
Totally do. But
definitely
have
not
you apply that to love and dating?
Thank you very much, Sami. My name is Geeta Sidhu Rob. This is Activate Yourself. And I hope that we did inspire you to think about how you approach dating, about how you approach your love life, and also putting your formidable brains into the area of your love life and thinking, how do I want to be? Who do I want to be? How do I want to show up? What is it that I deserve in my life? Because that's what today's conversation was about. And I look forward to having you join me again soon.
Thank you so much for joining us. Our goal was to give you pause, make you think about your life, and inspire you to say, wow, what if I tried to do that? If they can do it, so can I. Did it work? Let us know by finding us on social media at Geeta Sidhu Rob or at Nosh Detox. We upload new shows every 2 weeks here. And if you start to miss us, check us out on YouTube.